Good morning to you all. It's good to be alive and well. Beautiful sunny day today. Also the last Sunday of the year, and it makes us think about life and what we think is what we really hold dear. As the passing of time, some of us older ones think about this more than you do, I'm sure. But the question is that we all should have is how can we have a good year in 2019? And maybe I could open it up and maybe you'd have the answers, but it would be interesting to hear what you have to say. We look for ways to make it a good year. This just might be the year that all goes well. It could be. We have a lot of optimism about the new year. Some of us do. This is the year that we are going to visit the sick. That's a New Year's resolution could be in our life. We're going to do better at going around on Sunday evenings and visiting the church families. We are going to do better attending church on Wednesday evening. We're going to do better with our diet. We certainly are going to lose weight this year. Maybe that's the way it'll be. The reality is that 2019 will probably be much the same as 2018. Very similar to 17 and 16. We will face the pressures of making a living. We will face hospital stays that repair our hearts. We will have viruses that weaken and almost take our babies. We will have preemies that are born and require lots of money and lots of care and hospital stays. It's very likely that that'll be the case. We can even face the loss this year of our house, our barn, our farm. Or we could hear the dreaded word from a doctor, cancer. Many of us have determined that we want a good year this year, and we say that if we could just adjust our environment, we could have a better year. We could be successful. So what we do is we ask other people to change. We ask those around us to change. Maybe our wife goes shopping too much and spends too much money and we can't get ahead on our credit card bills. Some of us have the menacing reality that sleepless nights, worry, depression, emotional hang-ups, tie a knot in our stomach, we develop ulcers, and we try and change others to bring that so we can have a good life. You know, if only that person would quit saying and talking about me. If he would quit hurting me, and then I could live a life a good life, filled with joy. Then I wouldn't have to take behavior medication or depressants, antidepressants. Many of us farmers would say that if only Trump would issue an executive order to lift the steel tariffs, then soybean price would go up, milk price would go up. Then we could be successful. Others of you might say, if only the school board would quit picking on my children, then my family could be happy. Others might say that if the school teacher would be willing to spend a little more time with my son in algebra, then I could have more respect for the school. The scenarios in life could go on for hours. We know that. We live in reality. We know that. I would like to introduce a solution for you to have a happy, successful, and be contented in 2019. The solution is not found in 8 points to happiness that many of us read with interest. I saw an article the other day that 8 points to profitable dairy farming. And I read that, wow, let's find out what that is. I certainly don't know what it is now. But somebody wrote this article on 8 points to profitable dairy farming. I don't have that solution this morning. In fact, it's much shorter than that. It is a two-word solution. And it has worked for centuries and is taking care of thousands of circumstances. It is a principle that you probably all know. Maybe you've learned it at your mother's knee or as a child in the Sunday school class. This principle has comforted others, guided others as they lay a child in the casket. Guided others as they sit in jail. Guided others as they saw their house go up in flames, guided others as they entered green pastures, mental care. The solution is just two words, two simple words, and that's trust God. Trust God. Trust God. If there's something I'd like you to go away from this message this morning in this church service, that I have resolved in your mind for 2019, it's simply to trust God. For a text, I'd like to go to 2 Samuel 22. This is at the end of 2 Samuel 22, was written at the end of David's life. And it was his testimony And all of 2 Samuel 22 would be very beneficial to read. There's a lot of powerful thoughts in 2 Samuel 22, but I've just chosen to read from verse 29 through 31. David ran from Saul. David hid from Saul. The king was after him with 3,000 chosen men of Israel. And David was hiding in a cave with 400 derelicts that were in debt, had mental problems. And David was in this cave one day, and in came Saul. David was back in this, he hid on the sides of the cave. Him and his men hid in the sides of the caves of these derelicts back there. And Saul was out front taking a nap with 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel. Imagine that scene. Imagine that. Back there, hanging on the sides of the cave in the deep, be quiet. Don't hear us. Verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, but by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. This was part of David's testimony. And the verse that really caught my attention was verse 31, where he says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word is tried. And he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. I looked up that word buckler, and it means alligator skin. It's tough. It doesn't allow you to get hurt. Trust God. Trust God. I want to ask three questions this morning. But before we do that, I would like to look at some lessons from this text. He starts out, he says, thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my darkness. Life seems so dark sometimes. Just, we can't see. Where does he want us to go? Where are we supposed to go? Are we supposed to move? Are we supposed to stay? The king chases us sometimes, and we don't know what we should do. And he says, thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my darkness. Number one, all of life's circumstances come with purpose. Every one of them. Of life's circumstances comes with purpose. If your wife gets cancer, it's for a purpose. If you get cancer, it's for a purpose. If your business fails, it's for a purpose. All of life's circumstances come with purpose. Thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my darkness. Many times when things happen, we wonder, how could this ever work out for good? I know some people that are saying, you know, I can't go on. I just can't go on. This is terrible. I just can't go on. Well, I tell you today that through the authority of the word and the testimony of many faithful, life circumstances always have had a purpose. And eventually you will be able to see that purpose. So that's principle number one. All of life's circumstances come with purpose. 2019, you're going to face it. Everything that comes will be with purpose. Number two, verse 30. For by thee have a run through a troop, but by my God have I leaped over a wall. I'm not sure. I don't read in the scriptures where David did this, but he ran through a group of soldiers and he leaped over a wall. I'm not sure what he did, where it was at. But number two principle is that God will provide. God will provide. If we need to leap over a wall, he'll make it so we can leap over the wall. If it's necessary. Many of us seem to get caught up against the wall, and there's no place to leap. God knows that. Verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. Number three principle for us to live by as we go through 2019, I will not question God. I will not question God. His way is perfect. And I looked up that word perfect, and it means exactly what it says, perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. And of course, the word of the Lord is tried, and he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Many of us question God. God, I can't do this. God, I remember places in my life where I said, God, I can't do it. He said, yes, you will. He said, yes, you will. Some of you in this group, probably under the sound of my voice, are going to be sitting on the front row with a row of books in front of you, and you have to choose this year. That's a place where you will not question God. I want to ask, why then, number one, why is it reasonable to trust God? First of all, we know that there is a God. Romans 1:19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Everybody that's alive knows that there's a God. that he knows that there is a God. As for God, his way is perfect. You know, I sort of like to study apologetics and Christian apologetics. I don't claim to be a professional at it or professor of it, but I sort of like to read about Christian apologetics. And one of the things that an apologist made recently that really struck with me is he said, we don't need to prove there's a God. We don't need to read books about evidence for God. You know there's a God. Everybody knows there's a God. And I think that's true. Because of the very nature of being made in the image of God, we know that God exists. Why is it reasonable to trust in God? If God exists, then he's all-powerful. He knows everything. The Bible says if he made the ear, does he not hear? He hears our prayers. He has perfect control of our life. And according to many verses in the Bible, that God is working out the details for the benefit of us so that we would end up in glory. I would like you to turn with me to Psalm 57, verse 1. This was penned, they say, when David was in the back of the cave. When Saul was out front with the 3,000 chosen men of Israel, and David was back in the back of the cave, he said, Psalm 57:1 says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful. Saul is out after me, and he's out front. He's only a few hundred, maybe 100 feet away, 100 yards. I'm not sure how big the cave was. Must have been a big one. And he says, be merciful. Be merciful. Think about me. I'm hiding in the back. He says, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. The presence of mind and the controlling trust in God. At the very cusp of danger, with a king that hated me and was jealous, he said, be merciful, be merciful. I'm going to trust in you. What a testimony. I wonder how that guy ever got out and recorded that David wrote that. Maybe he penned it and stuck it in his pocket and showed up a while later. But he wrote that while Saul had him penned in the cave. There's a principle. God never arbitrarily brings into our lives events without purpose. He is preparing us for some usefulness and some purpose. And certainly he was preparing David. David said, David's men came up to him and said, Saul's sleeping. Why don't you kill him? David didn't do that. David didn't want to touch the Lord's anointed. You know, David, you know, he's a man of faith, and we preach about him and we talk about him. But he realized that the circumstances in his life were preparing him for something down the road. And he revealed this principle in 1 Samuel 17, where he said, you know, I'll fight with Goliath. And Saul looked over at him and said, you, a young man, unexperienced in battle, you're going to fight with Goliath. And he saw, and David said this, I killed a bear when I was out with my father's sheep. I killed him. He took this lamb and I killed him. I killed a lion. They turned against me, and I killed them. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be the same deal. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And he convinced Saul, and Saul said, David, go. We often worry about why God is bringing this event. I could be happy if you could remove this test and trial. We fail to see God's purpose that is a complete secret to us, our thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts, he says, neither my ways higher than your ways. Job understood this principle. And he said this, and he uttered these immortal words. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Circumstances, loss of a child, death of a mate, unfaithfulness of a parent, a dysfunctional family. Well, know people that have faced those things. Point number two, why is it so difficult to trust in God? Well, number one, we are self-sufficient. We trust in ourselves, in our money, in our ability, in our good looks. We limit God by trusting in ourselves. When we have this trust in ourselves, we are setting us up as we are our own idol. We do not see God as sovereign, who is infinite, omnipotent, with an eternal perspective. King Uzziah is a good example of that. King Uzziah was a genius. We could go there and read that, but I don't think we have time. In 2 Chronicles 26, he was very much of an inventor. And he made shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread afar. His name spread afar. For he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But listen to this. This is the point I want to make. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And he was not allowed to do that. He thought that when he was so smart, he thought he was so powerful that he could disobey God. Took the priest's job away from them. He went into the temple to burn incense. He trusted himself. And the Bible is full of those kind of examples. Nebuchadnezzar, he trusted in himself. Secondly, we trust in other people. We trust in other people. We trust the church to get us through. I appreciate all the discussion about the church and the faithfulness and its leaders and so forth. But the bottom line is this. The leaders won't get you through, nor will the church, if you don't trust God. We trust in institutions. We trust in sending our children off to Bible school. Surely they will learn the Bible. That won't do it either. It might help, but it won't do it. We trust in counseling centers. We send our problems off to Shepherd's Fold. And I personally appreciate Shepherd's Fold, but I wonder sometimes if the local church shouldn't take more of the lead in those kind of situations. Or as businessmen, we trust in industry experts how to do this, how to get more milk. How to get more concrete poured. We trust in that. If you are trusting in these things more than the Word of God, David says the Word of God is tried. It's perfect. And then finally, you know, there's many more, but finally, we trust in artificial behavior modification to take care of our worry. And that seems to fly in the face of God so much to me. I'm not saying it's never right, but antidepressants. When we are to have a faith in God, I don't know. I guess I question your faith. The songwriter says, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me. Do you think he leads us in places where we need to take antidepressants? Finally, I want to look at the results of trusting God. Point number three. The results of trusting God is this. Number one is a surrendered will. You need to surrender to God completely. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. All the way up on the altar, nothing hanging over, no reservations, nothing left but to serve God. until all on the altar we lay. Complete surrender. The results of trusting God, number two, is that repentance of sin. Repentance of sin. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This morning I ask you bluntly, frankly, if you're at the age of accountability and you know you're not saved, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It's a reasonable choice to allow God to take care of your sins. We don't know what 2019 holds, or even the rest of 2018. Your sins are as scarlet in the eyes of God. They're right there. You know, scarlet is a color we pick up. We see it. It's real. But God can make our sins as white as snow. The results of trusting God is repentance. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. Today, if you're here and not saved, come and let us reason together. It is a logical choice to give up your sins and to repent. I know the world in which we live, it has the beckoning hand out. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Many ways it says that. But God says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Thirdly, we obey the word. You cannot say you trust God if you do not obey him. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Trust and obey. There was a couple in Texas. In 2011, there was a lot of wildfires in Texas, sweeping across the prairie. And they were part of a farming family, and he had built up his herd of beef cows to be worth a lot of money, and built the farmstead. It was worth a lot. In 2011, these wildfires came through, and the government ordered them to move, get out of there. You're not safe. So what they did, they went to all the corrals and the fences, and they opened the gates. And the cows said, they miraculously left and ran across the prairie. But the government told them to get out of there, and so they got out of there. And a couple days later, they came back. And their farmstead was completely gone. Completely gone. And the man said this. I had a choice that day whether to trust God or not to trust God. It was that simple. He said, I chose to trust. All was gone. Can we say, I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. As we face 2019, can we trust God? Can we allow Him to bring the events into our life that will call us to trust in Him? God has a way. He said, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. It's very much part of our life that we struggle with tribulation, against trials. Let's allow God to do His thing, and let's trust Him.